Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Lumo Energy SA, 100% Australian-owned, with energy plans and great local rewards made for South Australia. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, very good evening to David Wilde and Malcolm Blight. Our hot topic tonight, thanks to Char Time, the home of freshly brewed tea. Thirsty at Char Time? Explore our ready-made signature drink range inspired by Char Time fan favourites.
Wow! I feel good!
Sports Day SA on Cruise 1323 and 1629 SEN SA.
Yeah, so welcome the great man Malcolm Blight, fresh from golf, fresh from a great weekend. Blighty, how are you? Round one, you often say to me, David, discount round one.
Yeah.
Let's worry about round two.
Yes, hi, David. Yeah, look, it is true. I mean, you'd rather win it than lose it, but it is. You know what I'd put up on the board tonight if I was at the Adelaide Football Club? 22 to go.
Rounds to go, yeah.
And if I was Ken Hinckley, I'd say, boys, wouldn't that be good to win again?
I remember saying to you Thursday night, I thought it was more important for Port to get that win, though. If they go 0-1, lose one at home. Just before half time, I thought they were going to go 0-1. Dixon kicks a goal on the siren. In fact, he kicked a goal after the siren in consecutive quarters.
Yes.
But they were brilliant in the second half, and we'll talk about them in depth with Horn Francis, Willie Rioli. I thought Wines and Rosie, the book, and Talia was outstanding early.
He was back in good nick, wasn't he?
But as good as Port were, you saw the game. What do you make of Brisbane?
Right. This is where, I mean, I see all the emotion of round one, right? And I read everything. I watch most of the games. I think there was a couple I only can watch a half, and then I'm going to watch the mini. But everyone gets really emotional with either the win or the loss. And I've always found round one was really the starting point for the season. It sounds funny. Round two, to me, has always been the starting point. So whether you've had a win, you want to keep it going. So the coach would and the coaching group would do the same. And a bit like Matthew Nicks now, okay, he's lost one, but they won a fair bit of the game. There were some takeaways from that game that I'll talk about in a minute that I hope someone from the Adelaide Football Club is listening or they already know about it.
All right. Well, let's continue with the Port Adelaide theme. They were brilliant. The two big ins were Willie Rioli or Junior Rioli and Jason Horne-Francis, and both stepped up to the plate.
Did they ever step up to the plate?
In fact, Horne-Francis, I think, got the coaches' votes, didn't he? Nine of them?
Yes, he did. And I've always felt that throwing kids in the middle, and you would have heard me say this, he got the first touch out the middle, mate.
He did.
I can remember being a young player, 18, 19 years of age, 18 or something, until you got the first footy, you started to panic, just to worry a little bit. As soon as he got the first two, I thought, uh-oh, he's away.
You know, he reminds me of maybe a bit stockier and maybe an inch smaller, a young Nathan Buckley. They've both got that power. Yeah. And even Dangerfield had that power. He's not as quick as Dangerfield, but doesn't he look good with the ball? He's got a bit of pace and he's very competitive. I was speaking to Mark Bickley today and from Port Adelaide camp. They're saying he's one of the most competitive people there and he's only a kid. So that's good.
That's good. And what I did, I was half critical, half trying to help, that I thought he rushed the week before, rushed it.
Yeah.
And he didn't actually do the rushing stuff. He was actually a fraction more measured. But we've got our first caller tonight. It's Troy. Hi, Troy. How are you?
This is becoming routine, boy. They reckon life's routine. How are you?
Good, Troy.
I wanted to talk about Horne-Francis, boys. But before that, on a consistent basis, on Saturday afternoon, it's the first time in a very long time that I've actually seen Port Adelaide come out the front of a centre bounce.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Consistently. You know, they've done it every now, but consistently they've done it on the...
Mm.
And it was the three young blokes, Butters, Rosie and Jason Horne-Francis. Now, my question to you boys is, now, Jason, we know his history from North Melbourne and that, and he obviously wasn't happy, and as far as I'm concerned, they played him in the wrong position in North Melbourne, the high half forward. That's for an experienced bloke. Malcolm, does he, obviously he's happy where he is, obviously, but he would get more benefit having those sort of, you know, better quality players around him for development and that.
There's no doubt about that. Troy, there's absolutely no doubt. A youngster into an experienced side, just like Port Adelaide, they're very experienced side, been in the top four two out of the last 3 years. I mean, they've got experience all over the ground. There is no doubt that would help. Being at North Melbourne as a young player is most difficult until you get a batch of them, and you need a lot of them. You really need a lot of them. And one of the things I found interesting, I thought Ryan Burton was really good. He got votes. Charlie Dixon was competitive. Alir. And when you're talking about speed out the front, Troy, I couldn't agree more. Butters is quick.
Rosie's
quick, and Horn Francis is quick. All of a sudden, you can actually take the game on. You don't need to crab it wide. You don't need to go out there. Just take them on. Your speed's going to get you there. So I know they had their moments of not being indominant, but gee whiz, they're going to be good to watch.
When you want to, if you want to give us a call, the number, easy one too, to remember, 1-300-736-736, 1-300-736-736. We will take your calls. Port Adelaide take on Collingwood. And they probably were the two form teams. Collingwood to beat Geelong, kick eight goals. They both kicked eight goals on the bounce, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
But who's your early pick there? Well, that's at MCG.
Collingwood have surprised me. I mean, they've actually, when you look at them, I mean, they're actually playing some really, really quick football. I can't believe, I think I heard today in a thing with David King. You know, David King's an expert commentator in Melbourne, former premiership player.
Well, just have a listen to this.
Yeah.
Way they play, okay, they're giving up to get a bit. They're prepared to run and gun. They're prepared to excite. They're prepared to play a different way. And I think Craig McRae right now is the modern-day Malcolm Blight. That if you kick 100, we'll kick 110. If you kick 110, we'll kick 120, and so on and so forth. They're prepared to give up some meaningless footy. They're not there to win every contest. They're going to be an outlier in all the stats through the course of the year. They are. They're going to be a real tough one to track because the way they play is so damaging and so punishing with minimal touches, high corridor, high impact.
Couldn't agree more. You know, I think I said last week, it's been a refreshing approach from Craig McRae at Collingwood. It appears to me they're actually trying to play the game originally, and this is the way I learnt the game. The game is who kicks the most goals as quickly as possible. So every movement on the football ground is to get the ball quickly down the forward line and kick goals. For some unknown reason, the last 10 years, they've played this chip around the back. And can I just say, watching the West Coast Eagles play, I just got a feeling. God. I got a feeling there's still a residue there that apparently the tram hasn't turned up there yet and say, look, with everyone starting to play quicker, you're going to get left behind. Now, one of the things you're doing is you can find your forward line a more one-on-ones. You've got a chance, David. You know what it was like when you played fullback. You come down and it's one-on-one. You start to get the heebie-jeebies. Yeah. If you've got three or four extra players down there,
you're safer.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying this for 5 years. Now, McRae, I think he single-handedly, although I must say Damien Hardwick, with the Richmond, they had that bit of kamikaze stuff, didn't they? Get going and go forward.
They started it.
Yeah.
I had a message too about the height of Horn Francis and Buckley. I said Buckley's a bit taller. Well, technically I'm right. He's 1.5 centimetres taller than Horn Francis, so about an inch. And I think Horn Francis is built a bit stronger at that age too. He's big through the hips and strength there. Now, you want to talk about the Crows, and you're disappointed with the second half and perhaps with some of the senior players.
Yeah. Now, what actually happened was there's two things. Straight after the game, I was sitting with three other football people and we had a good afternoon in front of the TV, you know, just to watch the game. I got the shock of my life. Something went wrong, right? Something obviously went totally wrong. Now, we know they lost the ball in the middle. At one stage during the third quarter, when the run was on, I just said to the couple of guys I was with, I just said, look, you know what I'd do? And this is purely just me talking. Laird can't get a kick, and that's going to happen. He's going to get sat on. They said it at the start of the game or during the week that we're going to tag him. Dawson wasn't having a great game, his first game as captain. We know that. We all have poor games. I would have swapped them straight away. Laird to halfback where he's pretty comfortable and been an All-Australian, and Dawson in the midfield where he's played some time this year. I just thought the move was fairly obvious. For the captain, the bigger body to go in the middle, they were losing in the middle, and I just saw that little change. Now, I don't think I ever saw it. I think they tried a little bit later. And one of the things, and this is what I'll say about coaching, David, this is just not Matthew Nix, this is everyone in the box. When you lead by five or so goals, you think we're going okay, you know, and you're happy.
Yeah.
Soon as the tide turns, you still have trust in the players because they've got your five goals in front. But soon as the opposition kick three goals, and I've said this a few times, and they get a fourth, you are duty bound to do something about it. Duty bound. Now, I thought it was so obvious for that to do.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. Now, it's a bit harder in the box. Do you think of all the time? No. But there are a lot of brains in that box for something to happen. After three goals in a row, you are duty bound to do something as a coach.
Yeah, and I thought Giants, even though they're a couple of men down, they look the fitter team at the end. Here's Matthew Nix on not capitalising on the first half chances.
Yeah, look, we had our opportunities, especially early in the game. We kicked a number of points, and you often look back on that and say, you know, a couple touched on the line, one hit the post. But, you know, these things happen. You've got to be able to play four quarters of footy if you want to win games of footy, and we didn't do that today. I think you saw what we're capable of and in that first half, and then you saw what we're capable of in that second half, unfortunately.
Yeah, you've got to answer those questions as a coach. But also, one of the things that I found probably the most strangest, doesn't happen very often this, in all of my years of football, not one senior player. There's six senior players, and I'll name them. And this is not... Is this having a go at the senior player?
No, oh, you know,
they're
critiquing the game.
Yeah, they've earned the right to be there, and they've earned the right to get
when
a game.
When they play well, you say that.
Yeah, exactly right. But in the game, they, as I've lost my piece of paper, I just marked them down. This is most unusual. I haven't Dude, Dawson, Sloan, Smith, Laird, and Walker all made little or no contribution. Yeah. That is most unusual, David. You've played footy, watched footy a lot. So you had to rely on the kids.
It was Rankin, Rochelle.
Shelley, those sort of guys, Saligo, and Pedler. I mean, they all did
it. Michael was all right too, didn't you think, first up?
Yeah, yeah. So it is unusual. It won't happen next week. It probably hasn't happened. I can't remember that happening. And now the last thing, David, and this is the most staggering thing to me. What went wrong? After the game, I didn't notice it during the game, so it was Harry Hindsight. But I started looking at the stats, and I see they got lost the centre bounces in the second half. They lost this inside 50s in the second half. We know all that. That was easy. The thing I didn't understand, remember the stats people have been doing these stats for 10, 20 years, so they're very experienced people that do the AFL stats. Do you know how many tackles the Adelaide Football Club had inside 50? It's one of the stats that we use. You know I'm not big on stats.
No, I don't. How many?
None. Can you believe that?
None.
Anyone out there listening, can you say that's right? I didn't pick it up during the game, as I said, but after the game I thought, hang on, I know the ball was down there in the second half, but we naught tackles in the forward 50. Excuse me.
Come back with more of that. Plenty to come, including Neil Balm a little bit later. Our show thanks to the award-winning 7-seater Kia Sorento.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Lumo Energy SA, 100% Australian-owned, with energy plans and great local rewards made for South Australia. You're listening to Sports Day.
Malcolm Blight and David Wilde for the award-winning 7-seater Kia Sorento, Kia's largest SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer.
Sports Day SA. It's the final countdown. On Cruise 1323 and 1629 SEN SA.
Yeah, top seven shortly. Did I hear that rightly? Before we went to the break, you said the Crows did not have one tackle inside their forward 50 for the entire game.
For the entire game now, David.
Not
one. Here, I've pushed the button.
Yeah.
Here's my phone.
It's there's radio, the but I can see it.
There you go.
Hang on. So they've had 18.
They had 18 tackles inside their 50, and we had, the Crows. Adelaide Crows had none.
That begs the question. We had Matthew Nix on last week, and I asked him the question about no McHenry, no Murphy, who are the Bulldogs they do that. They get tackles. They sacrifice that, but two of the better Crows players were Isaac Rankin and Josh Rochelle, weren't they, who probably aren't the tackling machines.
No, but also, don't forget, I mean, and this is not, I'm not having a crack,
still
this is
Walker.
Fact. There's still Walker, there's still Fogarty.
McAdam.
So there's all those, you know. It's
Pedler.
And Pedler. So that's a team there. And as I said, I could not believe what I was seeing when I saw this after the game. And I'll say it again, This is after the game. I didn't notice it during the game. So in all fairness, I would have thought that that would be something now that you would go to work on. And you know I'd rather get the ball than tackle. And, you know, if you can get the ball, tackle. Perhaps if he kicks straight Rankin with 2-5, maybe.
5-2, they win.
Maybe, well, they still lose. Maybe. Anyhow, but that's almost impossible.
Not to have a tackle.
Not to have one tackle inside the 50. And what I'm thinking about. Yeah, and it went in there. Just to reaffirm this, it went in 52 times, David.
Oh, that is an amazing stat. All right, Kia top seven. I'm going to start off with number seven, the debut of Jason Horne-Francis, Port Adelaide. We saw the first time we really seen him close up playing in against the men after a year at North Melbourne. He got the first two or three possessions in the game. At a quiet patch, but boy, did he finish off and got the 9 coaches' votes. An amazing game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very, very good. Now, I'd just say, before I go to number 6 in the tier top 7, someone sent through a text, Malcolm, what about the awful bounce of the ball by umpires? I've been saying this for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years.
Throw it up.
Why don't we throw it up? Now, we might get it in tonight, but I've got a special thing on that because some people are going to be named and shamed for not doing anything about it.
Fair enough. What's number 6?
Number 6. I want to talk about a debut by... Well, because of Jason Horne-Francis played for Port Adelaide, a youngster was part of the deal, Harry Sheezel, to bill for North Melbourne. He is the first player, did I see in 38 years or something, to get over 30 possessions.
On debut?
And on debut.
He's the third most ever.
Yeah.
With 34.
Yeah.
Outstanding. I reckon he passed, was it Michael Barlow was the last man on debut.
Yeah, Mick, he played
2010.
Yeah, nice fella too, Michael. So that debut of Sheezel, he looked
like... So it's a win, you're saying win-win?
I'm saying it's a... And they got someone else for him who hasn't played yet.
And they've got next year's first round draft pick too, for Horne-Francis.
But right now, I don't think anyone at Port Adelaide would be saying it's a bad deal.
Well done. My number 5, Collingwood, continue on their merry way. Very attacking. Now, we played that grab before. I'll play it again if we can from David King talking about Collingwood need to, you know, just score well.
The way they play, okay, they're giving up to get a bit. They're prepared to run and gun. They're prepared to excite. They're prepared to play a different way. And I think Craig McRae right now is the modern-day Malcolm Blight. That if you kick 100, we'll kick 110. If you kick 110, we'll kick 120. And so on and so forth. They're prepared to give up some meaningless footy. They're not there to win every contest. They're going to be an outlier in all the stats through the course of the year. They are. They're going to be a real tough one to track because the way they play is so damaging and so punishing with minimal touches, high corridor, high impact.
Didn't Geelong kick 36 goals?
37 goals, 17. That's the world record. Get it right, David. I'm sorry. I don't pick you up very often. No. You're pretty good at that. 37 goals, 17. Look, I agree with it. I mean, what they're doing is taking the game on, and that's the way I was taught. And anyhow, and you still got to defend. We know that. Hey, number 4 in the Kia top 7. He did mention me, David King, didn't he?
Twice.
I didn't say anything.
No, it wasn't you.
No,
I brought that in.
Thank you. Number 4. What about this for a stat? The 4 new coaches at the clubs all had 4 wins.
Oh, incredible.
That is incredible, isn't it? If you think about the weekend that could have been, should have been, or what happened, the 4 of them all got a win.
Yeah, what odds that? 4, and we're talking, who are we talking? Lyon?
Yes.
Clarkson?
Yes. Kingsley.
Adam Kingsley?
Yes.
And?
The next one. You've forgotten already.
Oh, I haven't really thought about it. That was your number 4. So doesn't matter.
No, it was a bloke called Brad Scott.
Brad Scott, okay.
At Essendon.
Yeah, they were good too. Yeah. Bombers did well.
Yeah, but did they play anyone?
My number 3 is, the future. We just spoke about no tackles, but Rochelle and Rankin and Soligo, they were far better than senior players. And I think Adelaide, we're really pleased to see that they got these kids, and hopefully for years. Rankin was really good in his first game, I thought, particularly. So well done there. The future looks bright.
Yeah, and those senior players, I'll say it again, everyone's entitled to a bad game, but they all did it together. Now, my number 2 in the Kia top 7 is Carlton and Richmond draw. 2 teams drew. Shall we keep it or shan't we, David?
Play extra time. Michael Voss even thought about it.
I reckon leave it.
All right.
For the finals is all right.
And number 1, the bump is back on the agenda again. McAdam, Pickett, Franklin all in trouble. And we'll talk about it later too. Scotty Pendlebury saying maybe the sub rule. If you bump and you hurt someone, you go off for 10.
You know what? I reckon that's got a fair chance of coming in. If you put someone out of the game and they go off the ground, you stay off the ground as long as they do. That's one of the things that happens in other sports.
I don't mind. You think twice about doing it then, wouldn't you?
Oh, you wouldn't do it.
Man, a show too for Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for South Australia. We've got Neil Barm. We love speaking to Barmy. We talked to him about Richmond. They take on the Crows this week, a very important game. But you can give us a call anytime or text through Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, Sports Day SA.
The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Lumo Energy SA, 100% Australian-owned, with energy plans and great local rewards made for South Australia. You're listening to Sports Day.
Yeah, Neil Barm, not far away, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde for Sports Day SA. Shortly a weekend, well, not the wrap, but all the things that are happening with Sam Fantasia for Toolkit Depot. Your Trade Pro partner, Toolkit Depot, is your one-stop shop to get back on the tools.
Sports Day SA.
Gold, always believe in your soul.
On Cruise 1323 and 1629 SEN SA.
I love your Cruise. It's my sort of music, Blighty. The 80s and the 70s in particular did a great job, as this man does too. Our producer does a fantastic job. Sam Fantasia. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hello, David. I'm good. It's good to be back. Malcolm, good to have you boys
back
on the radio.
It is good to be back. It is good to see you here, Sam.
I haven't seen you for maybe 3 days.
3 days,
But it was a big weekend of footy, and the Crows fans are probably the one they're waiting to hear from is on Shane McAdam.
Yep.
He's been referred directly to the tribunal. He's hit on GWS's Jacob Ware has been assessed as careless, severe impact and high contact. While looking at Cozzy Pickett's hit and Lance Franklin, they've both accepted their suspensions for high hits. Pickett was handed a two-match ban for his bump on the Bulldogs' Bailey Smith on Saturday night. Lance Franklin was hit with a one-match ban. Pickett's was graded as careless, high impact and high contact. So I'm a little bit curious as how McAdam's can be graded as severe, but Pickett's graded as high.
I could hear it through the TV.
McAdam launched.
Yeah, they both left the ground.
Yeah.
Got to be seriously. It'll come to the stage now. It's got to be banned and a sin bin. There's got to be a bit more repercussion on the day.
Talk about that tomorrow. Because I think we all agree a sin bin for those offences is probably a good thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you hit someone, hurt someone, you don't get penalised until after the game. It can take someone out of the game. So yeah, I don't mind it.
It'll be interesting to see what suspension he does end up with. Ollie Wines was asked if linear sentencing is impacting head knock incidents with Kane and Bucks this morning.
I don't believe about hitting anyone high or going late or anything. I think you can be tough and fair and you can tackle hard and keep below the shoulders. But, in a way, I've never been one to sort of get close to being reported, maybe early in my career a few times. But these days I try to keep sort of everything below the shoulders. But I certainly think it is a concern what's happening at the moment and perhaps not having adequate suspensions for these incidents that don't result in concussions because we're rewarding people not ending up concussed, but I think these incidents can end so much worse and certainly in the back of my mind.
So all eyes on the tribunal tomorrow night.
What are you thinking, two for McAdam or three?
Yeah, probably three. Two or three. You know what? And Buddy Franklin's the luckiest man alive.
Serial
pest and hit him in the head.
Bad look.
Only
unprotected.
Unprotected.
The whiplash
one game.
As well.
That is 100% wrong.
Absolutely.
And there must be some sort of favouritism in that.
He's done that a million times.
The Trent Cotchett treatment where Cotchett just gets the fines
so
instead
wrong.
Of getting the ban.
Malcolm Blight favouritism.
Oh.
Very quickly, Geelong defender Tom Stewart suffered a grade 2 MCL strain. He's set to miss a month. Sam Conning has been cleared of damage to his knee. What else have I got for you? Tristan Cherry will undergo surgery on the ankle injury that he suffered against the Eagles. Syndesmosis, never good, never sure how long you're out for there. Rory Lobb will miss Saturday night's game against the Saints after undergoing minor ankle surgery. Cody Waitman expected to be out another 3 weeks with a groin issue. And Braden Pruce has been cleared of serious back injury. They're still investigating what the issue is.
What about was it Whitfield and Kelly concussion? Did they automatically... Whitfield was ruled out, so he won't play next week.
No. Yeah, if they've been ruled as concussion, then it comes down
That's
to the 12-day protocol.
Big hit, that one. He just got caught unaware, didn't he?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Something's going to happen. There's going to be a radical change to the way we do this.
Absolutely. We'll get quickly to Blighty's coaches' votes.
Yeah, here we go. The ones that are really interesting. We talked about Jason Horne-Francis, of course, getting them. Chad Warner. Someone picked him to win the Brownlow medal at pre-season. He's got 10 votes from the Gold Coast game. Toby Green, of course. got 9 and Caniglio's 8 versus Adelaide. And we mentioned the two kids, Rankin and Rochelle, got 3 and 2 respectively.
That's good getting. You always wanted to get in the vote. That's good for them to get votes, though, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, I'm telling you. It's
they were noticed.
Oh, yeah. Luke Davies-Uniacke, which I put my outsider as my Brownlow medal. And Nick Larkey got 10 and 8 respectively.
What about your man, Harry?
Harry got 6, so third best from the coaches. Jake Lever and Kasiah Pickett, Cozzy Pickett, got 9 each for the Melbourne win over a very disappointing Western Bulldogs. They weren't great.
Bulldogs were awful, weren't they? They had all the tall timber up forward. Yeah. It doesn't work. I'm worried about them, to be honest. I just think they look very, very flat.
Yeah, and in the other game, I should mention, Brennan Cox and Luke Ryan from Fremantle got 7, and Callum Wilkie got 7 also for St Kilda.
Hasn't Wilkie been a good pickup? Yeah, big mature age student from North Adelaide?
Yes,
he's been good. Kilda surprised me. I thought Fremantle were good things, given all the injuries Saints have had, but I think Fremantle might be in a bit of hurt too. I know it's only round one.
Yeah, it's only round one, but just to finish that off, Errol Goulden, the guy that got 400 positions in the practice game, kept his form up, and he got 4 votes from the coaches in the Gold Coast game.
Where have you got Sydney to finish this year?
And top 5.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And you're moving on Port Adelaide or not?
Just at the moment, I've got them 9th, but they're on a fly.
Love your work. Okay, we promised Neil Baum. Time now to catch up with Richmond's senior club advisor, Neil Baum. For Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads, tyrepower.com.au.
Sports Day SA. You're sampling the best. On Cruise 1323 and 1629 SEN SA.
Oh, what a wonderful segue for this man. He is simply the best. He always comes on with us every year. We love talking to him. He's an icon. Neil Baum. Baumy, how are you?
Simply the best.
Yes. Well, you might have sung along
simply
with that
the
one.
Oldest. I was trying to, but I'm not that good at singing.
I tell you what, the old years just go quickly, don't they? It just seemed like we spoke with you yesterday, and now we're into the new year, and what a round one, and a lot of different results there.
Oh, I reckon nearly I picked the wrong team nearly every time, and it looked like they were going to win, and then they didn't. It was a very unusual round, and even our game against Carlton, we thought we did most things reasonably well, apart from score, unfortunately. So we finished up drawing as well, so which beats the hell out of losing. But it's not what we expected to happen. But even Adelaide were the same. I mean, they looked terrific, and all of a sudden GWS found something a bit special, which I suppose they're going to up there. But so it'll be a really challenging game this weekend for us against the Crows. We'll both be desperate to win, I can tell you.
It's not often you say 8 goals, 10 each would be a good game, but I tell you, it was enthralling. A lot of big body clashes. It was fast, the pace, the pressure, and it was just great to have footy back.
Yeah, it was more enthralling than great, wasn't it? Because when you saw the game, the John Collingwood game, when they did score a lot, you realise that it's better to watch the game when they score more. But both teams really did have a go in the Carlton Richmond one. We just neither of us were able to get our forward line working as well as we should. We think we did a lot of things pretty reasonably. We know we didn't really we didn't panic about it, but we've got to score better. If we just kick 8-10 every game, we're not going to win too many times, I don't reckon.
No, I agree with that. Just in the coaches' votes, Daniel Rioli, he started the year off really well. And also Tim Taranto, the recruit from GWS. So you'd be pleased with those two. I know he didn't get the points or all the points, but that's a really good sign for those two players.
Oh, look, we think both the two boys from GWS in the midfield, I think if you watch Hopper's game, he didn't get the ball as much as he probably should have, but he's in the right spot most of the time. I thought he played very well. If we actually had used him properly, he played very well as well. But Taranto's very good. He's just an animal. He just goes and goes and goes. And Daniel Rioli, he just runs beautifully, doesn't he? Some of his attacking from halfback was amazing. We should have taken more advantage of that in terms of scoring. But, yes, I mean, overall, I thought we played well enough to win by 2 or 3 or 4 goals even, but we just didn't take the chances. But that's part of the game, I suppose. That means that Carlton defended well, which they did. So that's what we've got to get better at.
Yeah, I actually picked Richmond. I actually thought you marginally won it, won everywhere but the scoreboard. Can I just ask you a question about the coach? Damien Hardwick, we know, I looked today, he's 298 games at Richmond. I mean, it's just a it is just a wonderful effort. 14 season data, 15, all that sort of stuff. Have you? I mean, you've been there a while now. You've hoisted the flags, and you know, not so good last year. How's his attitude and his demeanour and his growth? Is this, have you seen anything change with Damien Hardwick?
Well, even when I got there, I think in 16 we had a year that was a bit up and down, and I think he was probably almost too challenging to the players. You know, you've been a coach, you know that you've got to challenge them or you're not doing your job. But if you challenge them too much, sometimes you're too negative. And he was probably a touch negative. So he's improved, I think, in that area. And I went particularly into after the game to listen to what he said to the players because, you know, we played Carlton, who we probably should have beaten. We only keep 8 goals. What's he going to say? Like, traditionally, coaches get the... I was only going to say get the shits, but I would never say that in your radio.
No, and of course, I don't know any other coaches ever said that either, Neil.
No. And get angry with him and all, but he was very strongly said, look, we had our chances and didn't take them and we need to fix that. Our fundamental game's got to get better. But he told them that he felt that essentially they played the Richmond way, they played strongly, the intent was good, the attitude was good, we've just got to fix our fundamental kicking skills and handballing skills, et cetera, which it was a really positive thing for the player to walk out and go, well, we're in the right place at least he thinks we had a go. We've just got to train a bit harder and work a bit harder and kick the ball a bit straighter, et cetera, et cetera. So I think I reckon that he just keeps getting better and better from that point of view. And even at our meetings today, he was actually... quite funny about a few things he said, et cetera. So he's really trying to get him to enjoy as well as still challenging him to be elite the way they have to be. And that's the balance that you need nowadays, for sure.
Neil Baum is our guest. Bloody touched on Tim Taranto. When you recruit players, Neil, how important is it to recruit good people too, personality, character, Taranto and Hopper? And we know they're wonderful footballers and... I know the Crows are so wrapped to get Shane Edwards now, even though he's not playing, but they said he's just a wonderful person. You've got to take everything into account, don't you, when you bring someone to a club?
Well, I'm a bit old-fashioned. I think the kind of person they are is more important than the kind of player they are, in a sense.
Okay,
okay. We know real skill means a hell of a lot, but you've got to have the right attitude. And in our game nowadays, if you're not committed to the whole... team thing, you're not going to win. That's just the way it is. And it's always been that way, but it's even more so now than it ever was. So they got to be decent people, otherwise they won't fit in. And those two boys were. And you feel a bit sorry for the GWS mob because it's a bit harder for them to keep some of their players there. And I guess traditionally players want to play in Melbourne, really, and that's how we were able to talk these two boys into coming. Well, yeah, I think we still had to pay them pretty well, but it's a bit hard for GWS to keep them. But I don't suppose anyone in Adelaide feels sorry for GWS this week, so I'm on my own, I think.
Yeah, I think you make a great point there. Jack Revolt's probably the best one I can pinpoint, going from maybe not calling him selfish, but he just wanted to kick goals in his early career, and Richmond had no success. But now he's one of the most team-orientated players I think I've seen. He's and he can still kick his goals, but his last 6 or 7 years have been outstanding. You'd see the change with him on the ground.
Well, yeah, and that's so essential. If you want your team to be good, you've got to contribute. You've got to do your bit. You've got to sacrifice, etc. You know, you've got to still got to play as well as you can, but you've got to do the other stuff as well. Otherwise, you won't get the most out of your team. And we're really all committed to, you know, to winning flags and being as good as we can be, not just being a player who makes as much money as he can. So, I mean, that's a really significant part of footy nowadays, I think.
Neil, just a general footy question. I mean, you don't even know how to put it, the concussion issues with players and history and where's this all going to go from a legality point of view. What's your take on all of this as you see? You've been around the game as long as I have, and we've seen this whole dynamic shift to this sort of area of the game. What's your take on it all?
I reckon it's going to be almost impossible to manage because if we play our game, I'm telling you, you're going to get concussion at some stage.
Yeah.
Because we do run into each other. We do tackle each other hard. And we don't, you know, some naughty boys like me might have done something that's a little bit outside of the rules, But you don't have to do anything outside of the rules to get for someone to get concussion either. So it's a real challenge, I think. I'm not quite sure where it's going to finish. Because people are going to get concussion. It's simple as that.
If this gets to the legality stage in the AFL, don't you think that there should be some of the people like yourself, probably myself, and all eras of football that have played that understood all that machinations that when you start this game, it is a contact sport.
It's a collision sport.
You know it. Surely there should be some sort of...
accept the risk.
Yeah. A waiver or something.
And can't you talk... I mean, we've had some judgments from people that know nothing about our game, and particularly a South Australian grand final here, who knew nothing about 19 players on the ground. I've just got a feeling if this goes down that judgment case, not to say they don't know it, but I reckon you've got to get footy people, big footy people involved in this who understand all about the game.
Well, the problem is that's right, but there will be some legal person who overpowers all that because that's what the law is, isn't it, in a sense. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't see how we're going to win the battle, but I'm sure we will, I suppose, but I just can't see how we will.
Ask any kid if he wants to play at 17 or 18 and know the risk ahead and that, you'll get 100% saying yes. And that's...
Of course you will. But a little bit later on, he'll say, oh, look, I had to say it, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to play.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean. And even now, you know, Gary Ablett Sr. comes out and says that he's got mental problems and it's because of concussion. Well, it's probably true, but, I mean, don't worry about it. Get on with it. You knew that was a risk.
If they pay
I agree with you, Malcolm, I must admit, yes.
Or if they
but
pay
I, but
one.
But I'm not sure that will be the outcome.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, Neil, I lost count, probably 15 or 20 over, you know, nearly 400 games.
That's and I'm the same. I probably gave out more than I got, but I still would have got a few. I just know I did. Yeah. And in our day, you almost kept it to yourself because if you told the doc, he might let you play.
So
if you're able to cope with it, you just cope with it.
Neil Barmer, guest. Most of the footballers love the game. Jason Castagna decided to give it away, which surprised us over here, Barmy, but some do. We see probably every year, you know, two or three just walk away from the game. What was the take there?
Well, it's really interesting because it was a very, very brave thing for him to do because, you know, you've seen him play. Like, he's a player who needs to play at his absolute peak, and that's what he did for us. He was, you know, wonderful, competitive player, you know, terrific defensive work. Wasn't a super skilled player, but when he did all that other stuff, he was a really important player for us as a defensive forward, et cetera, et cetera. But what he figured was that he's got to play at 101% or he's no good to us. And he started to feel as though he wanted to do something else in life and wasn't able to commit himself totally. And he was brave enough to, because he could have, he had a contract. He could have done what he liked.
Yeah.
But he came to us and said, well, look, I'm not prepared to do it. And I'm happy to give it away, which was very, very decent and reasonable and brave of him, I think. So, but we're very proud of him for doing it. And we're so proud of him as a player. He played in three premierships and he's been wonderful for us. But he's also selfless enough to say, well, I'm not going to do it anymore, so give someone else a chance. So it's been wonderful, really, in lots of ways.
Yeah, will he play at a lower level, so, you know, without the commitment of...
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think
he wants to play, from what I can gather, but he may change his mind. But I think he wants to do something else in life, and he's really enjoyed it, and he's probably got more out of it than he ever even dreamed he would. So it's a wonderful story in its own way.
Yeah, good luck to him. Hey, last time we spoke with you, Barmy, you said quite a few youngsters that hadn't really got a chance at Richmond because you had such a good side for so long. You still got some kids we're yet to see. I know that you've had a couple you've shown off, but there's still a lot underneath that you reckon are just waiting for the chance?
Well, I got no doubt we've got half a dozen at least who I think can really play. Now, our challenge is, you know, we're a bit of an older side. When is it time to put them in to give them a chance, to give them an opportunity to play? And are we still going to win when we're doing that? I mean, that's, you know, you guys, you've been in footy long enough to know that that is a real challenge in itself. But, you know, we have got, you know, a handful of kids, you know, Gibkiss and Sonzi and Judson Clark and a few others as well who I think have, you know, really got the ability to play damn good footy, but we've hardly had an opportunity. So, Ryan, Samson Ryan and et cetera. And I'm sure we will, but I'm not quite sure how we're going to manage
fit
it.
Fit them all in, yeah.
I think we're still in a pretty good place, yeah.
Now, Adelaide this week, it's just at the opening, it was a pretty interesting game against GWS for them last week, and you obviously with the draw. It takes on a little bit more significance, and I always think round two is almost the start of the season. Round one's what happens, and then you go from there. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so round two, I reckon, is the. Yeah. I reckon it's almost. I always considered it was the start of what's next.
Well, yeah, and I felt the same. We played a practice game and didn't play all that well, and I thought that's wonderful because that gives us a feeling of where we are. But I think you're quite right. You've almost got to play round one to know where the hell you are. And playing it in Adelaide obviously gives the Crows an advantage there. But we think we're going to be very competitive this year, so we think we'll be good enough to knock them over. But we didn't. We're going to have to kick more than 8-10, I would think, to do that. But we're really looking forward to it. And it's so hard to predict. You look at Adelaide side, and you hardly recognise half the names because they're all kids coming through. It's it's quite exciting. Quite exciting. So, we know it's going to be a real challenge, and we can't wait, I must admit, but hopefully we'll get up. But if they don't, Adelaide will, and somebody who's listening to this radio program will be happier than me.
every year, Bloody, Barmy, you're close, you're really close to the game. We say it's faster, the players are quicker and fitter, and it certainly looks that way. The Collingwood Geelong game and you and Carlton, like for round one, the players are out on their feet, but I suppose all the stats they do, they are fitter and faster and stronger every year. But
they have to be. That's the amazing thing is that there's so much now relying on your transition from offence to defence, defence to offence, and it's just continual. And, you know, we run our rotations now to make sure that players do get a bit of time off so that they can take a breather and then come back on and run full pace again rather than pacing themselves through the game, which we used to do in the good old days. It's a different game altogether. It is so explosive. And it's wonderful to watch when it goes well. Because even watching the Collingwood Geelong game, and Geelong were going to win all day, and all of a sudden in the last quarter, it looked like they couldn't run.
Yeah.
Because Collingwood were just fantastic. So, I mean, that's the challenge of it. How do you keep this? And they lost a couple of players, to be fair. But and when you lose a couple of players, it's much harder to do the rotation stuff. So you do run out of steam a little bit. So it is. You're quite right. You know, we're half watching it thinking, how's this working? But they do. They run and run and run. And even if you look at the stats and the numbers, they do. There's high-speed running, and the amount of running they do is extraordinary. And that's genuinely, if you spoke to all of them, they will be working on their rotations to make sure that players don't have to play the full 100 minutes, which, again, in our day, we did the whole time because that's what you either came off and never came back on again or you played the whole game. It's a different game altogether now from that point of view.
Interesting. Barmy, thanks for the chat as always. And, well, good luck for you guys this weekend, but let's hope it's a great game and thanks for the chat once again.
You don't mean that.
I thought it was convincing there.
No, you're good. No, it's terrific. Any time. I'd love to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Neil. Neil Baum there. And there's not many better guys to talk to, Malcolm. He just knows football. He's like you. We have a chat. It's almost like you're around the lounge having a glass of red.
Yeah, one of the things, I think I said last time we interviewed him last year some stage, that he would be perfect now the way he coached Norwood and then went across and coached the Melbourne Football Club. Everyone thought he wasn't quite hard enough, which for a bloke that played super hard, he wasn't quite. He tried to engage the players and be positive with him, and I reckon he lost his job at Melbourne because of that. Now he would be absolutely perfect in this environment.
Interesting on the concussion. He agrees. You cannot play football without a collision, accident, or whatever. Yeah. Your brain can rattle around, as I said, taking a mark and falling just on the ground without anybody else.
Correct.
So I don't know where it's going to go. I hope he doesn't get ugly in courts.
And I've seen, this sounds silly, but I've seen blokes run into goalposts and point posts for 50 years now, and a lot of that has hit their head. Now, I know they've got padding now, but think of all those blokes that ran in all those years ago. And we hit the post a few times. I did a number of times.
Spoke with Ricky Moniatis today. He's a concussion expert, and he said helmets are useless. He said the more you have them on, the more your brain rattles around in them. So
we interviewed a neurosurgeon, a couple of them now over the journey, and I've spoken to them. There is that school of thought. I think it's a pretty positive one, that reverberation in the brain.
Go.
Yeah.
So, yep. Lottie, that's it for us. Another good night. Good to have you back. We spoke about Port Adelaide. Well done to Port too. A fantastic second half in particular. And the Crows had the good first half, then faded, and the Giants undermanned got up and won that game. But it's footy. It's back on. As you said, round two is where it all starts.
Yeah, it's the most important round of the year at this stage.
You go home, have a nice meal. We'll do it all again tomorrow. See you, Malcolm.
Bye, David.
The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Lumo Energy SA, 100% Australian-owned, with energy plans and great local rewards made for South Australia. You're listening to Sports Day.